and just, like, be horrible and nobody wants to crown any of them. But I'm like, then they're embarrassing themselves on TV.
Yeah, that's true.
So them withdrawing is, like, way better, actually.
But Betty is not beneath that because she did flash the entire country.
That is true. That wasn't on national television, though. That was just local television, I guess.
That's still, like, the entire town, though.
She's like, I don't want everyone to know about my underwear, just the people I know.
Hello and welcome to our Riverdale podcast, brought to you by the Aficionados Podcast Network. My name is Robin Jeffrey. I'm a 28-year-old actor and artist. I like brooding anti-heroes, feminist agendas, and I remember way too many details that no one else cares about. You can follow me personally at Robin E. Jeffrey pretty much everywhere, and our fun fact for this episode is, for the talent portion of the pageant, what would you do? And I would also sing a song. I feel like it's a... I feel like it's, like, not a very creative option, but I feel like that genuinely is one of my best talents, so I would have to go with that.
Ooh, I've never heard you sing.
Oh, well, not right now. I'm not doing that right now. And you guys, this episode, Brittany was so excited to yell about Veronica and yell about Alice, but 30 minutes before we were supposed to start recording, she threw up.
Aww.
And she was like, my throat hurts so bad, I can't. So she's going to be sending us in a little voicemail on her thoughts, and I'll insert that at some point during the podcast. But for now, we have Blanche!
Yes! Hi, I'm Blanche. I'm guest hosting for this episode. Brittany, I hope you feel better.
Me too.
I'm a 22-year-old pet caretaker from Massachusetts, and media consumption is my only hobby. And for the talent section on the talent show, I argued to you that I do not really have any talents, but what did you say?
That's not true. I was like, well, first of all, explaining the plot of Riverdale, I feel like, is a talent, and I know you can do that.
Like, I can write it down.
But I'm also sure that you can do something, like...
Maybe I'd do something, like, with dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not really, like, a big training person. Like, I just like being around dogs. I don't like to boss them around.
Even then, I feel like.
I don't know. Today we have words to say about episode 715 of Riverdale. Miss Teen Riverdale.
Yes, and our step-by-step notes for this season were written by you! Thank you so much!
Yes! Of course, always.
Light of my life!
Aww.
I'm so happy that, you know, Brittany, we like record later in the week, and I was like, hey, if we don't get this done today, it is not going up on time. And I only had to bump it back an hour than like where we usually record, so I do appreciate it.
Oh, of course, always. I love to scream about Riverdale.
Oh, I know. As for the title, it's just sort of like the name format of pageants, I'm pretty sure, is basically what you can get from that.
Yeah.
For thoughts from listeners, we got a lovely email from Katie. Ooh. About some stuff about Cuba and the things that Hiram was talking about a couple episodes ago.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
So we've heard from Katie on quite a few of our podcasts, and I always love hearing from her.
Aww.
Okay, so this is what she said. A little unsolicited info about Cuba. My father was born in Cuba in 1947. Cuba in the 1950s was a complicated place. Castro didn't come to power telling the people he was going to go full communist, but he was receiving support from the Soviet Union. He ran on a platform of ousting the corrupt Batista regime, promising to restore honor to the country and power to the people. The rumblings of the revolution were happening well before he came to power on January 1st, 1959. Over the next few years, he started to openly and publicly embrace Soviet support. Eventually, he became the spitting image of the corrupt, power-hungry dictator he worked so hard to remove from office. My father and his family left Cuba in 1954 because of the growing civil unrest, but my grandfather still supported Castro, supporting the mission of ousting Batista. He never gave up on his hope of returning to his home country, and even had a Cuban flag draped over his coffin at his funeral and burial in 1980. Growing up during the height of the Cold War was an interesting and confusing experience. On one hand, in school and in the media, Cuba was vilified, and on the other hand, at home, it was revered. This taught me very early on how much of the world is in shades of gray and not simply black and white, that there are at least two sides to every story, and what is the truth may be different from one person to the next. Anywho, I'm still very much enjoying the podcast, and thank you for throwing yourself on this grenade. I have a pretty high tolerance for bad media, but I don't think I could sit through this show. Gratefully yours, Katie. Katie, thank you so much, as always, for your thoughts. Especially, you know, we had said in that episode, like, hey, I don't know a whole lot about this. And so I appreciate you putting your insights in there. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So toot or boot, Blanche?
I'm going to go with Toot all the way. I said this to you earlier, but I think this was my favorite episode of the season.
Would you say that that rests solely on the Alice content, or what else did you like about it?
Perhaps. Perhaps it does.
Okay. I'm going to give it a Toot as well. I had a good time. It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
I just think this is, like, the most development she's gotten throughout.
For Alice? Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, throughout, like, 15 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So we are going to cover this episode chronologically. I think it's, to be honest, just like one big storyline. Yeah. I don't think there are even anything to branch off there. I figured instead of making you read the entire thing the whole time, I would do the same thing that I would do with Brittany, which is that I'll read it half the time and you can read it the other half. Would you rather read the notes for the top half or the bottom half?
I'm going to leave that up to you. I'm good either way.
Okay, I would say that Alice becomes, like, sort of a good person at the bottom half, so would you rather,
Yes!
Would you rather talk about that?
Yes, you get me.
Okay, perfect, cool. Alright, so here we go, you guys. And thanks to, you, Blanche, for writing these notes.
Of course.
Is it weird to hear me read your own words back to you?
No, it's very, like, what's the word?
Like, validating?
Yes, validating. Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm not making sense sometimes when I write them, like I'm screaming into the void. So I'm like, okay, good. I did a good job.
Okay, good. That made sense. All right, here we go, you guys. So our episode begins with Veronica, Tony, Cheryl, Midge, and Ethel all writing letters to Betty's new anonymous advice column. They're all sick of sexism, racism, and homophobia and the high standards that come with those things. Evelyn also writes in, but just to tell her she's not as great as she claims to be.
I love Evelyn this season. I think she's so funny.
I was like, guys, you have gotta know this is Betty. Like, I feel like I would put it together pretty quick. I don't know.
I think it's funny that, like, the only people who are writing to her are, like, the main characters.
Yeah, or at least the only people we see, but...
Yeah.
I mean, because we did see her get, like, a whole bunch.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But they're not very subtle with their, pseudonyms.
Yeah, yeah, I'm so excited to talk about that, because, like, they're something. Like, you guys have gotta know this is Betty, and when Betty reads who they're from, Betty has gotta know who each one is from, because she also knows things about her friends' lives. Like, Veronica's like, I'm a business owner, and Betty's like, what female business owner who's a teen do I know?
How does Veronica not know that she's writing to Betty, though?
Right, right. I don't know. I secretly think that they do. But it was really sad foreshadowing for Midge, because Midge's thing was all about, like, how she's sitting on a ticking time bomb and she's scared that she's going to be, like, vilified and, you know, bad things are going to happen. And, of course, bad things do happen to her this episode.
Poor Midge. But, I mean, it's better than what happened in Carrie.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Have to say.
I was like, does Evelyn know that this is Betty, or does she just hate everyone? Because she's just really mean. I was like, I think she just hates everyone.
I think she does.
What a miserable existence she leads.
Okay, we all know somebody like that, though.
It's true, but I'm also like, where is your father husband, though? I wish she would at least, like, I wish she would at least mention him.
I know.
Because otherwise, she's just a character, you know? Like,
yeah, she's just there.
The fact that she was, like, in and part of the farm and part of the whole Edgar Everett everything was, like, the main thing about her. And now I'm like, where does she fit in here, though? You know?
Exactly. Just to be homophobic. Yeah. But she was, like, so progressive in season three when she was, like, half-dating Alice and half-dating her dad.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And also, like, recruited, like, all the gay characters to come to the farm.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, The last thing I had about the scene was just that I think it's funny that Ethel's fully wasting postage, like, sending it to the the person she literally lives in the same house as.
She and Betty have talked for the first time in this episode, actually.
Yeah. For the first time?
Yeah.
Betty walks downstairs to find Ethel drawing. Alice explains that Ethel is her assistant for the annual Miss Riverdale pageant, and she's finishing sketching the sign-up sheet. This is also the first year that the pageant will be broadcast on national television. Betty does not care. She's never liked the pageant. She says she's not competing, but Alice lists off the prizes, one of which being a scholarship to a college of her choice, and that piques her interest. Ethel is half amused and half uncomfortable by their dynamic. Alice notes that she should change her sketch of the pageant winner from blonde to brunette, and then leaves.
She's so silly. Does she not realize she's also a blonde?
Like, I'm like, what did that line even mean? Like, she's like, you should make her from blonde to brunette to make her more likable. And I'm like, is she saying that Betty is unlikable because she's blonde?
I think that's what she was saying, but I...
Is that what the vibe was?
Yeah, that's what I took from that, but I think she...
I love the idea of Alice being like, I know I'm unlikable.
I mean, we do know that she knows she's unlikable because of that scene at the end.
Yeah, that's true. And Alice says that she's already won the crown for Miss Grumpy Pants USA, which I thought was like such a mom line. I loved it.
I love her so much. Mm-hmm. Ethel's also so funny during this scene. Like, I would also laugh at them if I was stuck in the middle of this.
I'd be like, I feel awkward. But some of the other prizes, you get a new car, a Hollywood screen test, and the scholarship. I totally thought that you had to pick one, like, when you won.
Yeah, you get all three.
Like, you picked one of the one things, but you get all three.
It's awesome.
Which is crazy. Like, great. What the heck is Ethel gonna do with a car?
Do you think Ethel can drive?
No. No, I don't think so. Aren't they like, women can't drive? They're probably like, women can't drive.
But... Does any...
I mean, we know Cheryl can drive and stuff, but I feel like the people who are, like, making the pageant are like, women should be driven around.
You don't think Alice knows how to drive?
I think she probably does.
Hmm. Also...
But I just feel like the people who are, like, creating the pageant are like, women should be carted around. They should not be taking themselves places.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, or maybe not, because they did, like, list a car as the one of the prizes.
Yeah, that's what I'm surprised by.
Yeah, well, maybe that was Alice's doing.
Yeah, that's possible. That's possible. So at school the next day, Betty walks in on Veronica, Tony, Cheryl, and Midge discussing the upcoming pageant. She tells them that she's not into it because the main point of it is to objectify teenage girls, especially the swimsuit portion.
That's fair.
Cheryl points out that she partook in a peep show with Archie and flashed her underwear on TV, but Betty argues that that was all on her own terms. Veronica points out that beauty pageants can be looked at as misogynistic, but they can also be gratifying to the participants. She also says they all agreed whoever wins, they'll be happy. Except for Evelyn. Betty is also surprised that Tony is competing, but Tony explains that this is the first year the pageant is integrated. Even though she thinks she won't win, she wants to show the country a strong black participant. She says if she does win, though, she's going to call out Miss America's racist ideologies, to which Cheryl piggybacks onto. I liked this scene.
I did too. I don't love writing about it, but I love the scenes where they're all just like having conversations together.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, it was one of the reasons why, like, I had named at the end of last podcast, I was like, yeah, this is probably the different reasons that the other students are competing. And I figured that this was what Tony was going to be competing for, just because she has sort of been talking about it all season already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like how she says her reason, and Cheryl's like, yeah, me too, same.
Yeah, same. I will also do that.
It's very cute.
So Cheryl says that if she won again, so that makes me think that she wins every year.
Probably, because, I mean, if her parents are sponsoring it, and it's Cheryl.
Yeah, if her dad's one of the judges.
Ugh, that... Mm,
yeah, I...
And they had that swimsuit competition. Ugh, I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I have a lot of feelings about this. I feel bad. I meant to sort of keep the ending of the episode as sort of like a surprise for the people who haven't seen the episode, but I think I've already sort of given it away, and I feel like it's sort of hard to talk about when you don't know the ending, so let me just lay it all out for everybody.
Yes.
So Ethel is finally able to compete in the episode, and she sings a beautiful song, and the person who actually wins is Betty, but when Alice gets the paper, she reads out Ethel's name instead, which is a beautiful moment of, like, Alice sort of maybe getting redemption. Yes. We'll talk about that later, but that is finally what happens in the episode. The thing is that I'm just like, one of the things that I have later in my notes is, how the heck did Betty win, though? Because the three judges are Werther's, Featherhead, and Clifford. I would assume that Clifford always votes for Cheryl.
Oh, well, maybe.
That's why she keeps winning.
I'm guessing, right? it was like majority.
Well, must have been, but I'm like, but then Werther's thinks that Betty's a nymphomaniac.
Yeah, but he's like...
And knows that she thinks about sex all the time.
He's like, he kind of thinks... Like, what am I trying to say?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Lolita thing.
I think he, like, kind of... Yeah, exactly. He gross, kinda, horrible. He kind of, like, has a thing for her. I know.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. And, you know, she, like, blackmailed him or whatever, too. So he was like, I'm just not gonna...
Yeah.
I'm not gonna deal with her.
And I think Featherhead is just, like, there.
He's just along for the ride.
Like, he sucks, but... He sure is there.
When Betty is talking about, like, her and Archie seeing each other in their underwear, Veronica goes, what I wouldn't give, and I'm like, Yes, what she wouldn't give to see Archie in her underwear, which is how it, or see Archie in her underwear, Archie in his underwear, which is what it sort of reads as, but of course my brain is like...
It's Veronica.
She wants to see Betty in her underwear.
Duh. Well, I mean, she canonically does.
I know that one of the things that, Brittany is going to put in her voicemail that I think I'll probably put where the What Did Blanche Think segment usually goes.
Oh, that's smart.
Is that she wants to complain about the lack of Veronica this episode because, like, okay, it was so Veronica last episode.
I think they're just playing it down because they're around everybody else.
I completely agree, but I'm also like, okay, we got 5 episodes left, guys.
Yeah, that's true.
We're down to the wire, guys.
But Betty...
Let's make a choice.
Betty probably also doesn't want Alice to know. Like, yeah, maybe they're okay with being like that around Tony and Cheryl and Midge, mm-hmm, but I don't...
Yeah, especially, yeah.
Definitely not around Alice.
Or Evelyn.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny that, like, everyone in the scene has to wear a different color.
Yeah.
They're like, everyone wear a different color and it's the color your dress is gonna be.
It was very cute.
Veronica says that Edith Head wants to design her an outfit for this. So Edith Head was an American costume designer who won a record 8 Academy Awards for Best Costume Design between 1949 and 1973, making her the most awarded woman in the Academy's history. Head is considered to be one of the greatest and most influential costume designers in film history. I love how much Veronica's constantly giving to Hani, and she's just like,
she is!
I have to... I have to name drop at all times. Yeah.
She did that in, like, the original timeline, too, though.
Absolutely true, yes. Fangs is nervous that Midge is competing since pageants are so physically demanding and she's pregnant. Midge explains that this will probably be the last time she'll get to be a regular 16-year-old girl again. Fangs completely understands and says, if the judges have eyes, then she'll definitely win. Which I thought was really sweet, and I loved that they were, like, sharing a sandwich at lunchtime.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. I think they're so cute together. I'm glad that Shawnee is gonna be endgame and that Fangs mm-hmm. will still have someone.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, like, it's very in the back of my mind. Like, I can't say that this is, like, the most interesting or...
Yeah.
Most interesting relationship or a relationship that I care that much about it, but I love how much they love each other, and I'm rooting for them.
Me too. Yeah, you summarized that perfectly. I agree.
In the locker room, Veronica approaches Betty. Now that it's just the two of them, she's going to try and convince her to compete. She asks if Alice wasn't hosting this thing, would she enter for a chance at the prizes? She could go to any school she wants and escape this town and her parents. There are, like, several times this episode Veronica's just like, Betty, do you want to hang out with me specifically? I would love to spend more time with you. So
she does. It's so cute.
I do feel like there's still, like, a sprinkling in there, you know?
Yeah. I think they were just doing it subtly.
I really feel like there would be more girls competing as well.
I know.
Not just the main characters, because the prizes are so good. I feel like there would be more girls complaining, because there are so many lines on the sign-up sheet.
Yeah.
And, like, later...
Well, Riverdale's a small town.
That is true, but there are a lot of girls at that school.
Yeah, but they don't have the budget for that.
Yeah. You're right. But, like, it's funny, because later, Betty's like, well, now that Midge isn't competing anymore, Ethel, now you can compete, because there's a spot open. And I'm like there was a cap on how many girls could compete in the first place, though?
I know.
Maybe now that they've gone sort of, like, farther into it, and they've started staging it, then, I don't know, but.
Yeah, maybe they, like, scripted it so it would be, like, a specific number of people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And then Betty says that she would like to go to Sarah Florence, or I think she says Smith College as well. So I think it's Sarah Lawrence, and that's like the gay college that Tony and Cheryl went to.
I thought Shawnee...
In the real timeline, right?
Shawnee went to Highsmith College, which is not a real place. They named it after the lady that wrote Carol.
You're right.
But I think you are.
We've talked about Sarah Florence before, though, I feel like.
I feel like they've mentioned it on the show before.
Okay, let me just go on the Riverdale Wiki and search it real quick.
And Smith College is in Mass. I don't know if they meant...
Massachusetts.
That specific one, though. Oh, I think Mary went to Sarah Florence.
Maybe that's it.
That's where she met Brooke.
Oh! So it's still the gay college!
It is!
Archie returns home to find his mother in the kitchen with her old friend from Sarah Florence. Brooke. Okay, you were right.
I just Googled that too, so.
We were both right. It's gay.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Betty walks up to the sign-up sheet and she writes her name down. At home, Alice brings up the fact that Betty signed up. She asks if she has a plan to ruin the show, but Betty says she signed up because of the scholarship opportunity. Alice doesn't believe her and wanted her to sign up just to have fun with the actual pageant. She reveals that when she was in high school, she won the pageant and it was the greatest night of her life. She says she felt like anything was possible and dreamed about becoming a stewardess and traveling the world. Betty is surprised by this and asks why she didn't. She says she got married and had her and Polly, so she gave up on the dream. She changes the subject and tells Betty to get a good night's rest so she has energy for rehearsal tomorrow.
Oh, this scene...
I was like...
I know.
Teen Alice content? Young Alice content in 2023?
I think she couldn't pursue her dreams because of Charles.
You guys... Listen, the blurb for, like, three episodes from now came out, and it said, like, Betty gets shook by a family revelation or something, and I was like, it's Charles, and a bunch of people on Twitter were like, it's probably that Hal's a serial killer, and I was like,
or
please stop talking! Stop. Listen, I appreciate that, and you're probably right, but please just let me have this until my dreams get shot, okay?
It could be Charles, it could be the serial killer thing, or it could also be Alice being gay.
The other thing, that just to cover all our bases, it could also be that Betty is related to the Blossoms. That's another thing that I feel like was a family revelation at the time.
Oh, true, but...
In the original timeline?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would really...
But just to cover, I don't think it's that one. I don't think that one would be that big of a deal, but just to cover all our bases.
Yeah, exactly. I also just loved seeing Betty get to see her mom actually talk about things like this. But I thought the scene was so...
But she's like a human person.
Yeah.
Not just a mom. Yeah.
I thought the scene was so sad. Like, the fact that she's convinced herself that doing what she wanted with her life was a stupid goal makes me so upset.
Right, and she's like, I'm not recommending you go to college.
Yeah, do you think okay. Alice went to college? Do we know that she didn't for sure?
I don't think we know for sure, but I would say that she probably didn't.
Did she in the original timeline, do we know?
I don't know. I don't have any memory of her ever talking about it.
I don't either.
Yeah, because she was pregnant with Charles in high school,
obviously. Yeah, but then she gave him away, or they made her give him away, so...
Right, but then she got married. Yeah, good question. Right. Hold on. I don't know if I'm going to find anything on the wiki. I love the wiki, but it's just not as good as the Lostpedia wiki.
And that's so fair.
I don't think anything beats that thing. That thing is crazy. Every single, like, random character that was mentioned once has a page on Lostpedia.
As they should. Okay. I just Googled, did Alice go to college? And they did not realize I was talking about Riverdale.
They're like, more information, please? I don't see anything on her page about it.
I mean... Who knows?
Well, she was a serpent, too? Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, but then she stopped being a serpent while she was in high school.
Yeah. I do not know. I was so upset. I was like, can we please see a flashback to Teen Alice winning the pageant? Like, it's still Betty, but I want, like, if I could get...
I would have liked to see Machen.
Well, I mean, she was a teen. They probably wouldn't have...
Hey, they could make her up to be, like, in the... like, what era would it be when she was in high school? Like, it's the 50s now?
30s or the 20s, maybe?
Yeah, they could dress her up in, like, a 30s dress, and they could be like, this is a flashback. Trust us.
This is a flashback. Yeah, like, I even, like, you know, they don't have the budget for this, but I'm like, there's enough footage of Maidchen as a teen.
Yeah!
That you could CGI it. Please!
If they can Photoshop a picture of Skeet and a picture of Hiram and Hermione, they can do that.
Yeah. Exactly. When she said, oh, I had Polly and then I had Betty, I was like, just Polly and Betty?
I don't think so.
And then Alice also says, if you won this pageant, Betty, it would be the greatest accomplishment of my life. And I was like, but you won before and you said it was the greatest day of your life. Sometimes it feels like you don't even like Betty.
I don't understand her at all.
And then it's also weird because then at the end, Betty wins and she's like, I'm gonna just say it was Ethel.
Yeah. That was very, like, contradicting. What did you think about that?
Sure.
Oh, I guess we'll get there, but...
It's Riverdale, basically. Yeah. So the next day, Alice coaches the girls for the competition and explains the rules and categories. They're all walking in a circle around her, balancing books on their heads.
Tony says, that's great, but she already knows that she has a nice ass and doesn't need some old man to tell her that. Alice says that right now they should all be embodying all things good and decent. She also says they're going to work for another hour on posture and balance and then go get fitted for dresses.
This was such a hard scene to watch for me, because Alice is my comfort character and Cinnamon Apple, but you could not pay me to care about beauty pageants.
My eyes fully glazed over during every single thing that she said. And then I was like, ha, Tony made a butt joke. And that was it. That's what I got for you. You know?
I was, like, trying to pay attention. I was like, Machen is so pretty. And I was like, at this point, she's just saying words.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree. While all this is happening, oh, this is so funny.
I know.
Ethel is sitting in the corner. She starts fantasizing about if she won the pageant. In her fantasy, Alice is interviewing her afterwards. Ethel says she wishes her parents were alive to see her, and Alice says, they are! We cut to her parents in the audience. Alice asks if she has any other dreams she'd like to be fulfilled. Ethel says she's an artist and would love for her work to be featured in a gallery someday, and we learn that it will be! A self-portrait, which is a repurposed screenshot from season one, is going to be on display at the Guggenheim Museum! Ethel also mentions that she would love it if Jughead Jones was her boyfriend, and Jughead walks on stage to give her flowers and kisses her on the cheek. Alice snaps her out of her fantasy to ask if she made an appointment at Mary's dress shop.
When people say...
It was so good.
When people say Riverdale is high camp, this is specific fantasy is what they mean.
Machen really was, like, pulling it all out, too. She was just like, I have great news for you, Ethel!
She is so funny. I don't know if you've watched her on any sitcoms, but I think after Riverdale, she should do more comedy.
I've seen her on Gilmore Girls.
I've never watched Gilmore Girls.
You would love. It's so good.
I see. How many episodes is she in?
Like five, probably.
Sad.
You're like, the ratio's not up to par.
Aren't there like 200?
They were like, what is the funniest sounding museum name that we can have?
That's a real museum.
Like, I know that the Guggenheim is real. No, I know. But, like, they were just like, what, of all the museums, which one is the funniest sounding? Let's make it the Guggenheim, right? And the Guggenheim! So classic Camp Riverdale.
It's amazing.
And she's like, well, if all my dreams are coming true, I might as well go for it. Can I have Jughead? Oh my god, thank god it was only, like, a kiss on the cheek, because I was like, ha, it's funny if it's a kiss on the cheek. When it's a kiss on the mouth, I'm like, I'm uncomfortable now.
Yeah.
This is not what Jughead wanted.
I miss Tabitha.
Me too, always.
But I'm also sad for Ethel, because, like, I get having a crush on somebody that doesn't like you back, but...
Yeah.
But I'm also like, Tabitha.
Tabitha. At the dress shop, Mary and Alice flirt with each other in front of everyone.
They do!
Mary reveals that she also competed in high school and always lost against Alice. She says she always thought that winning would be a stepping stone to doing something really important. Alice argues that there's nothing more important than being a wife and a mother. Mary says maybe that was true for their generation, but these kids could do whatever they wanted in life. Veronica wonders out loud if they'll ever have a female president, and Tony wonders if they'll ever have a black president. Alice says it's important to manage their expectations. So it sounds like Alice won, like, multiple times.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, Mary says, I always lost to you. Like, you always won.
Oh, aw. And we didn't get to see any of it.
I know, I'm pissed.
Ugh. Alice will forever make me so sad, though, because you can absolutely tell that she was in the same place or mindset as the girls in this scene at one point. And she's, like, convincing herself that this is the only life that she was made for.
Yeah, and, like, Mary is so good in this. Like, I literally love, like, Mary, all she has is a son, but she's like, if I can help make the lives better of these girls, then I will, you know? And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, she's very sweet.
They talk about, like, the female president thing, and Evelyn's like, I would never vote for a woman. And I'm like, yeah, oh, yeah, of course you wouldn't.
Evelyn Shut is up. Like, she's just there to be that person.
Right, and they say that maybe a black president might happen in their lifetime, and if you, like, do the math, they would be around 70 years old when Obama was elected. And so that just makes me so happy that maybe...
Yeah, but in the...
It really did happen.
In the original timeline, they already saw that. Like, they were there.
Right, right, right. Ugh, oh my gosh, it's so messy.
I know. It just makes me frustrated, especially now that we know we're not going back to the present.
Yeah, at least not in the way we wanted to.
Yeah.
So Ethel helps Betty with her dress, and Betty notices that she's crying. She asks what's wrong, but Ethel deflects. Meanwhile, Mary is helping Midge and notices that her dress doesn't really fit because she's starting to show. Evelyn is mean about it, and Cheryl jumps to her defense. Alice immediately notices and asks if they can speak privately later. I'm like, she notices that exact moment, because, like, I really feel like that wouldn't be the first thing that you jump to with a 16-year-old, you know?
Yeah, but it happened to her.
Some 16-year-olds.
That's why she's right.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm saying, is that the reason why she's just like, I remember this exact moment happening to me, and that's why she jumps to that, is because she remembers that feeling. Because yeah. I feel like if that happened, I would just be like, okay, you know, we've had some cheeseburgers. Who doesn't love cheeseburgers? I get it, you know?
Yeah.
But she, like, immediately clocks it as pregnancy. Because... Yeah. It happened to her.
Exactly.
Charles real. Charles happening. Well, Charles exists.
Wasn't Charles, like, in the town when the comet struck? So, like, he's got to be in there somewhere.
I guess he was. Buddy, come back. I miss you so much.
And Chick, too, while you're at it.
And Chick, too. But oh, my God. They are screwing this up, Blanche. They are screwing it up. Because what they could do is have Wyatt and Hart come in, and they're just, like, sweet little 50s boys.
Oh.
Which is exactly what I want.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Hart Denton and his absolutely haunting face, in the best way, coming in and just being, like, a cutesy little 50s boy? I'd be like, that man has something to hide.
I've always had...
Like, it's genius!
I've always had this vision of him on, like, one of the little bikes that they ride through in Disneyland.
Uh-huh.
I think that would be a great outfit for him if they bring him in.
I think so, too. I completely agree.
I also have to ask you, do you think Mary and Alice are endgame?
I would love that.
Yeah.
I would love that, and I think that it's plausible, because we know Mary's queer.
Yes.
And we know that Machen said partner.
Yes.
But it is possible that she was just trying to be inclusive rather than, like, trying to give us a hint. You know what I mean? I worry about that picture that we saw with her with that random guy. I worry very much about that behind-the-scenes picture we saw.
Who is that man?
Who is that man?
I don't care. I know.
We figured out who he is, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. He in the original timeline, he was in, like, season 2. He played Nick St. Clair's dad.
Which makes me... very upset. If they're bringing back Nick St. Clair and they're saying, like, Alice does not... No! No!
Absolutely not!
No!
you can't tell me they're gonna bring back Nick St. Clair again and not Gladys.
This is, like, I'm scared. I would be thrilled if Mary and Alice were endgame. I would be thrilled.
Yeah. I really love...
But I just don't know.
I love the idea of them getting together because there's no angst and they just seem to really enjoy each other's company.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're always so friendly to each other, and I want a stress-free ending for Alice.
But I really feel like if Betty ends up with Veronica, Alice is going to be like, I have to date Veronica's parent. I always date the parent of who my daughter's dating. Always.
Yeah, but Marisol isn't in any more episodes.
No, I know. I just feel like Alice is like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Trying to make my daughter She's uncomfortable. Like, dang it!
Damn, they live all the way in Hollywood.
How am I supposed to get over there? So, later on, Betty asks Ethel why she was crying earlier. Ethel says she just wishes she could compete with them. Betty calls her beautiful and asks why she can't. She says that Alice said being Miss Riverdale teen queen is about embodying the best of the town and being Riverdale's ideal girl, and that just isn't her. She says she's the girl whose parents got murdered. She doesn't have many friends and is too into comic books, and no one would vote for her. Betty argues that she has every right to compete because she's inspiring for overcoming so much adversity. Ethel still disagrees, though, and leaves.
Aww.
I just think Betty's awesome.
She is.
I didn't have anything to add to this scene. I just think that, like, Betty's great.
I just have to say, when they released this clip early, I was really relieved. Because I had read the synopsis of the episode, like, a couple weeks ago. And I was really worried that they weren't going to let Ethel compete for, like, fatphobic reasons.
Yeah.
And I am so glad that it wasn't that.
It's interesting because it sort of, like, has that undertone, but they never say it out loud.
Like, a little bit. And I'm, as a plus-size person, I'm choosing to ignore the undertones.
Yeah.
Because I like that they didn't even bring up her weight.
As you should.
Yeah, exactly.
So Alice takes Midge to Pops and asks how far along she is. Midge is visibly shook. They do, like, the whole...
Great shot, this scene.
Amazing, cool shot. And I'm just saying, Alice knows because it happened to her.
Exactly. Also, did you like the zoom in on her eyes? I thought that was very Lost-esque.
Mm-hmm. It was, you're right. It was great.
And she has pretty eyes, so.
So Alice gathers everyone, minus Midge, and tells everyone that she won't be competing with them anymore. She says she also won't be a student here anymore because she's been sent to the Sisters of Quiet Mercy.
Ooh.
How the heck am I supposed to say this out loud, Blanche? This is what Blanche wrote. Everyone is eye emoji, mouth emoji, eye emoji about it.
You know the one.
No, yeah, you guys know the one, but how the heck am I supposed to say that on the podcast? Everyone is...
Well, like, if you see it, like, that's what they were saying.
Okay. Everyone is very surprised about it. And Alice adds that when they see her again in 6 to 7 months, she'll be fine again. Veronica starts to ask if she's pregnant, but Alice cuts her off. She tells everyone to treat their bodies as temples that must be protected against any kind of defilement, and then heads off until they meet again this afternoon.
I like how when she says that, Evelyn is like nodding in the background.
She's like, so true, Mrs. Cooper.
So funny.
She says in 6 or 7 months she'll be like totally fine, so she like I assume is just going to give away the baby just like Alice did.
Yeah,
I would think, because she's just like, in 6 to 7 months she'll be fine, she's not going to be like a mother or anything.
Well,
I don't know. I love the part where Betty goes, she's not with us, is Midge dead? And I'm like, yeah, she got murdered by your dad. Dead as hell.
I love that she phrased it like that. She's like, she's no longer with us.
Yeah.
She knew what she was doing.
Did she die?
Is she good?
Yeah.
I just want to know exactly what happened to Alice when she was at the Sisters.
Me too.
That made her so obsessed with them, even in the regular timeline. Like, why send Ethel and Midge there if she went through it herself? Mm-hmm. Or Polly in season one and Betty in season three. And I think, as horrible as it is to think about, it's very unlikely that they were good to her there.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Do you think she's just, like, worked this into the illusion she's living? That the Sisters are something that's just necessary?
I do think so. I think that, especially in the 50s, that she's just like, my life was better for this. At least she does feel this way at this point.
But it wasn't.
And your life will be better for this as well.
Ooh. That hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
I don't think she's really accepted how sad she is.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And I, you know, she's definitely convincing herself that everything's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that when she sends Polly in season one, she still thinks that this was like the best possible option. But when she sends Betty in season three.
Well, that was the farm stuff.
That's farm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I can excuse that.
Yeah. So the girls are all talking amongst themselves at lunch. Betty doesn't know why Midge had to leave. Evelyn tells everyone that it's obvious that Midge is pregnant. Veronica says that this happens a lot in Hollywood. Tony says that Midge shouldn't have anything to be ashamed of, but Evelyn disagrees. Betty is more interested in the fact that she and Fangs had sex. Like, did they do it, like, a lot? I was like, oh my god, Betty, chill. Tony says that they're in love and would be together right now if not for Midge's racist, classist parents. Evelyn calls them a cautionary tale. Betty wonders how exactly she got pregnant, like if they were using protection? Cheryl is besties with Midge, and Tony is besties with Fang, so they both know the details of this. They said that they were using condoms, but one time it slipped. Veronica says that this is exactly why they should invent birth control pills, because the girls are the ones that have to live with the consequences of getting pregnant. Cheryl and Tony realize that Fangs has no idea what's happened to Midge and rush out to go find him. Veronica asks Betty what she's thinking, and Betty says just about how quickly their lives could change based on just like one accidental mistake.
Yeah.
I loved, my favorite part of the scene was every time Evelyn, like, piped up to say something absolutely horrible, Cheryl would be like, first of all, here's an insult. Second of all, why are you sitting with us? Who let you be here?
Isn't that, like, an actual line? Like, she's like, who let you sit with us?
Right, she's like, who let you be here? No.
Betty's so funny this season.
But she doesn't, like, kick her out.
Yeah.
I did think it was funny that, like, Evelyn said that Midge's pregnancy is the worst kept secret in town, actually second worst after Cheryl and Tony.
That made me laugh.
That was good. Yeah, incredible insults from Tony and Cheryl this scene. And then Betty gets, like, really? Like, I literally was like, Betty, please calm down. Can you talk? Like, dude. She's like, I need to. Also, like, it's interesting, like,
So you know how she was always reading from Kingsley's, like, sex book about sex?
Yeah.
You know, the sex book about sex?
Of course, the sex book.
So apparently, like, I genuinely thought that Kingsley was just, like, a thing and a person, but it's actually a reference to Kinsey, which makes way more sense.
Oh, okay. Like,
yeah, like, the Kinsey, like, the Kinsey scale is, like, a sort of way, you guys should look up the Kinsey scale, but basically, like, the Kinsey scale is a really great way to sort of, like, explain attraction, I feel like.
Okay.
So, like, that made total sense that it would be about Kinsey. So, for example, I always sort of explain my own attraction using Kinsey scales that, like, the sexual attraction scale is usually, like, from hetero to homo, and I'm just not on it.
Oh, that makes sense.
Like, you know, and then bisexual people are, like, in the middle somewhere, and I'm just not on that scale. But there are so many different scales, so, like, the romantic attraction scale I'm on, right? So, anyway, Kinsey is very interesting and has done a lot of, like, important work for the LGBTQIA+ community, just in, like, in science and everything, so I like that they... After I learned that Kingsley was supposed to be Kinsey, I was just like, that makes more sense.
I think there should be a Riverdale AU where everything is the same, except for Betty's sex book is the American Girl.
Yeah.
Body book.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, yeah. Cheryl calls Evelyn a goon from Saskatoon. Not Saskatoon. I've been to Saskatoon, and not everyone is a goon there. Just saying.
I see.
That is a city in Canada. Be nice.
Different from Saskatchewan?
Saskatchewan is the province. Saskatoon is a city in Saskatchewan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think Betty is so funny this season, though. Like, yeah. I like the episodes that aren't all about her sexuality, but they're still like...
Me too.
Don't forget she's relentlessly horny.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was like that one episode where it was like completely about other stuff, but it started with Betty just like thinking about like making out with Reggie and Archie at the same time. And then she was like, huh? And then the whole rest of the episode happened. I was like, that's great. That's good. Keep it like that.
But then they put those clips in the trailer, right?
Exactly. But that ended the trailer, right? It's not the whole trailer. Oh. So I was like, see, that's what we can do.
Yeah.
I loved Veronica saying, we should have birth control pills. I was like, always an entrepreneur. Always a business entrepreneur. Veronica, millionaire. Billionaire.
This should be her next business endeavor. But then she should give them out for free.
Lastly, Betty goes, oh man, it's like crazy to think of how fast your life can change based on like one thing that you do. And I was like, man, Betty, maybe you should sleep with women just
exactly.
In case, you know, like, I just feel like that really takes away the stakes for you.
Yeah, just to be safe, though.
Yeah, it's just not as scary, I hear.
Right.
Betty asks Ethel why she was so quiet in the lounge just now. She says she keeps thinking about Midge being at the sisters. Because Ethel, obviously, was just at the sisters.
Yes.
Betty says they'll figure out what's happening with Midge, but in the meantime, there's an open spot in the competition now, and she thinks Ethel should fill it. Ethel seems surprised and happy, but asks, what about Alice? She'll still need an assistant. And Betty says she has someone in mind.
And that someone was not Gay Kevin, who I really wanted it to be.
If that had been Gay Kevin, I would have been like, Kevin, once again, you are pushing your luck here, bud.
Wait, why?
You are so gay. Well, he's so gay.
Oh, true.
He's so gay. This episode, he's just like, I'm gonna sing a song at a pageant. And I'm like, oh my God.
Well, I mean.
Are you trying to hide anything?
Tom's left, right? So, like, he's good. And Gay Kevin's gay mom is, like, understanding, so.
Yeah. Wait, he's did good. Tom leave? I thought he just moved out of the house.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. Because he probably still has his job.
I hope so. I don't want to say, like, I know I hate Tom in the 50s, but, like, in my heart, I love Tom. Yeah. I want to see him in the finale being, like, a good guy again or something, you know?
Yeah, and then they can surprise bring back Robin Givens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all I had on this scene was just that it just really feels like there was always, like, a cap on how many girls could compete, but we already talked about that.
Yeah, all I had in the scene was I just wanted it to be Gay Kevin.
Yeah. And that is halfway through the episode. So real quick before we move on, I'm going to talk to you guys about Patreon. It's a service in which you can donate to some of your favorite creators. Our Patreon is patreon.com/theaficionados. And we accept monthly donations over there. And in exchange, I will give you cool things. At $1 a month, you get early access to every single podcast. The $2 level gets you access to our Discord server. $5 is 10% off at 3 different small businesses that are all in the description. And the $10 level is our Patreon-only podcast that comes out every 2 weeks.
and it's just sort of an update on what's going on in our lives, and then little fandom discussions or discussions about our lives, and people seem to really like it.
I really like it.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
We'd really appreciate your help over there. If not, check out some of those small businesses. That would be great. Or just recommend us to a friend, because that is free and it still helps. And we're almost done.
That's insane.
So you can tell people right now to start at the beginning, and definitely by the time they catch up, we're going to be done.
Yeah, there's an episode for every episode of Riverdale.
Every single episode.
Amazing.
All right. Are you ready to go?
Yes, I'm ready to go now. Fangs is distraught and furious. He says he's going to break in and rescue her, but Tony says to slow down. She says Midge's parents know that she's pregnant, but maybe not that he's the father, and that they should keep that a secret so nothing bad happens to him. Fangs is still at a loss for what to do, but Cheryl and Tony think he should stick to the original plan of being a famous rock star, so her parents approve. Cheryl says her parents have donated to the sisters before, so she can work on setting up a phone call between him and Midge, but he needs to remain calm.
I completely understand Fangs' outrage at this.
Yeah.
For sure. But I think that Tony and Cheryl have the right idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll do another, like, rescue episode a la Shoni 217?
I loved that episode.
I know.
I don't see them, with 5 episodes left, spending an episode doing that.
Oh, wow.
But I would love it. I do love Fangs' jacket. I just wanted to say, I love Fangs' jacket in this scene.
Yeah, I love the new serpent jackets. They're so cute.
So cool.
Betty is helping Ethel on all the routines that they worked on earlier. Ethel's also wearing a new dress. Alice walks in on them and asks what's going on. Betty explains Ethel's replacing Midge. Alice says that's great, but she still needs an assistant. Dilton, having been recruited by Betty, walks in with her coffee order. Alice asks Betty if they can speak privately in the hallway.
We know that Betty can get Dilton to do anything.
Honestly.
Dilton has a big ol' crush on Betty.
Aww.
So cute. I love that Ethel is wearing the dress that she sort of, like, had in her fantasy. You know, like, she got her dream dress.
Aww, that's so true.
She, like, got it. Alice also drinks coffee like I do. I drink coffee very occasionally, but when I do, 3 sugars and extra cream makes sense to me. Put something else in this so it stops tasting like that, but it just tastes a little bit like that.
Oh, okay. I'm so happy.
That's how I want it.
We finally know Alice's coffee order.
Yes, we've been waiting.
Gonna store that information right away for trivia nights.
And then lastly, I just really loved how, like, Dilton and Ethel just give, like, a little wave to each other at the end of the scene.
Aww. Because they're friends.
Because, like, they're friends. They sit together at lunch and stuff.
Aww.
And in Rivervale, she was, like, his evil assistant or whatever.
Oh, yeah! I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a different Dilton at the time, but still.
Yeah, but they hang out with Jughead at lunchtime.
Yeah, yeah, and Ben.
Aww.
Cute.
The besties. Alice is upset at Betty for trying to undermine her, but Betty says it's not what she was doing. She forced Midge out of the competition, so why can't Ethel compete now? Alice says Ethel has an unsavory history and does not represent the ideals of the pageant. They argue about it. Betty says Ethel deserves to win this more than anyone else, but Alice isn't having it. She says she won't allow her to compete, and Betty has to be the one to tell her.
Who cares? Like, yeah. Who cares that she, like... Okay, then she won't win. But, like, at least let her compete, though. Like,
yeah,
who cares then?
I was gonna ask you, why do you think she was so, like, dead set on not having Ethel perform?
Well, I know you don't want to hear this, but I feel like Alice doesn't want... Like, she wants everybody to look perfect and pristine up there. And I think that I love Alice. But 50s Alice, I really feel like is, like... At least, especially at the beginning of this episode, is, like...
Ooh.
I just think that she thinks Ethel looks too different.
Yeah, but, like, I can forgive Alice for a lot, but this would hurt my feelings, so I don't want to believe that.
Okay. But I'm also, like, Ethel's parents dying wasn't her fault, though.
Okay, well, here's my theory. I think I wrote this down later, but... Mm-hmm. I think it's because her parents got murdered by the milkman, which was actually Hal.
Ah, oh, so you think Alice knows.
Yeah, I think she's, like, trapped in this marriage, and her saying Ethel's name at the end of the episode was, like, her trying to find a way to get out.
Okay, so in your mind, how does this go? Like, is it, like, Hal is the mastermind behind the milkman, Alice knows this...
Well, remember that episode last season, I think, where it was, like, revealed that he had murdered someone, like, years and years ago, like, before season 1, and that she helped him, like, because he was threatening her?
Oh,
I don't really remember that, to be honest.
That's very fair, because I blocked out most of season 6, too.
Yeah, there are so many things that happened. I also maybe blocked that out.
Me too.
Yeah, all right, well, that makes sense then, I guess.
Yeah.
But so, and then so she's trying to protect Hal, or Hal is like, I'll kill you if you tell anybody?
I don't think she's trying to protect Hal, so yeah. Probably the latter.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, interesting. And so when, like, Hal was like, Betty, your mom has sacrificed so much.
Well, I think he also meant Charles in that scene, but...
Me too.
I mean, who knows? Because, like, with season 2, like, they were trying to, like, vilify Hal, but they didn't know exactly how to do it, so they were like, he's a bad husband, but also he's a serial killer at the end.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I don't know either.
So I don't know. I think that might be where they're going.
Yeah, all right.
Like, we already know he sucks this season, so.
Correct, yeah.
At the dark room, Betty talks to Veronica, Cheryl, and Tony and vents to them about what's going on. She reiterates that Ethel deserves to win, and it would do so much good in her life. Everyone wants to help. Cheryl suggests that they should all threaten to withdraw from the competition unless Ethel gets a chance to compete. Betty says that sounds good, and she'll go talk to her mom. Veronica says that she should probably go around her mom this time and go to someone who's more inclined to listen to threats, like her dad. Also, Veronica wants to come help.
Veronica just wants to hang out with Betty.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea from Veronica. I think that even Betty's idea of them all, like, withdrawing... Oh, Cheryl's idea, sorry. That they all withdraw is, like, way smarter than what I thought, which is that they were all gonna throw it and just, like, be horrible and nobody wants to crown any of them. But I'm like, then they're embarrassing themselves on TV.
Yeah, that's true.
So them withdrawing is, like, way better, actually.
But Betty is not beneath that, because she did flash the entire country.
That is true. That wasn't on national television, though. That was just...
Oh, it wasn't. That's right.
Local television, I guess?
That's still, like, the entire town, though.
She's like, I don't want everyone to know about my underwear, just the people I know.
Betty can't let anyone know that she wears underwear.
Exactly.
Unless they live in Riverdale.
She's like, I'm going commando all the time. Yeah.
I love the Veronica crumbs this episode. She's just like, I want to be included.
Yeah.
It's very cute. So, Betty and Veronica confront Hal and tell him to let Ethel compete. He immediately tries to shut them down. They say everyone's quitting unless he agrees, and that would be pretty bad since he's already sold all of his commercial slots. They also want the swimsuit segment cut from the show completely. Hal says that that's the judge's favorite, though. And Veronica says it's outdated and gross, especially since 2/3 of the judges are their teachers. Hal is at a loss.
Great points all around.
Agree.
Yeah, not so good. But I love that they're like, yeah, we hold the power here. We're the ones who are on stage.
As they should.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, the judges are gross because we're teens. And they're also faculty members.
Yeah, that's very upsetting to me.
Very upsetting. So the judges are Clifford, Featherhead, and Werther's, like I said.
Ugh.
I cannot believe we're going to go this whole final season without seeing Weatherby.
I know.
Weatherby was like such a... Well, he's such a classic from the comics.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, so it's like, it kills me that we lost Weatherby.
Maybe he'll just be like somebody that lives in town.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I want to see him.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, I would probably cry. I don't even know. I don't even care that much about Weatherby, probably.
Aww.
But I feel like I would just be excited to see him.
I think, well, Weatherby and I have beef, so.
Yeah.
I like him more than, what's his face, though? Featherhead?
We've only seen Dr. Curdle Jr. like once. Give me Dr. Curdle Jr. again.
True. And Chick. And Gladys.
Yeah. And Charles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And FP! I know, you're not gonna do it!
And FP!
But please.
Ugh, what would you do, though, if, like...
If they all just pranked us?
Yeah!
I mean...
I think that would be so fun.
I would scream. I would scream and cry.
I would actually cry happy tears.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Oh, my God. Don't get my hopes up. Get out of here.
I'm sorry. They're not gonna do that.
Yeah. No, they won't.
But it would be awesome if they did.
Which is upsetting. Me looks over at my calendar of Skeet just telling me to die. Sometimes I walk out of my room and give him the finger.
No, that's so sad.
It's true, though.
I love the die posters, though. They're so fun.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. Except when they're telling it to you.
Except when it's Skeet saying die the month that he's not coming back.
Die, Robin.
No.
I will. And then you'll feel bad.
Sad. So, Alice yells at Hal for going behind her back on the day of the pageant.
She tells him how ironic it is that he's constantly undermining her since she spent the best years of her life cleaning up his messes. She asks, what if Ethel wins and somebody starts digging around in their past? Hal tells her to calm down and says none of this matters because there's no way that she'll win.
I love, she calls him Harold. It's great. So Hal is short for Harold, but he doesn't deserve the name Harold because that was my grandpa's name.
Aww.
So actually, Harolds are very nice.
Yeah, and especially, Harold from Person of Interest. You guys watched that, right?
Brittany and Sam did.
Oh, okay. I thought you guys had, like, secret unreleased podcast episodes about that show.
So, basically, when we first got, like, approached to make a The 100 podcast, we were with a different network before we created The Aficionados, and they did a Person of Interest podcast for the final season on that network, but all of those are, like, gone.
I wouldn't
even know where to... Yeah, they're gone.
I've been meaning to ask you about that. I desperately want to listen to them.
There you go. We approached Tim, who was our producer on that network, asking, I wanted our season 3 podcasts for the 100, because then I'm like, we don't even have to cover season 3 again. I'll just post our old podcasts on there.
Oh.
But he said they're gone. Like, he didn't even keep the files. Like, it's all gone. So, yeah.
That's awful.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. Well.
I loved this scene so much, though.
So, do we think by cleaning up that Alice meant his murders because he was behind the milkman? Mm.
So, what did he say exactly?
Well, she said that she spent the best years of her life cleaning up his messes.
Mm. Yeah, that's probably what it is, like, recently, at least.
Or I had another idea, and you're not going to like this.
Oh, boy.
In this timeline, do we think Charles is Hal's?
Yes, I saw your note on this, and I would rather die. I would rather die.
Robin's like, I've elected to ignore that.
I would rather die. Listen, Polly can be Hal's, whatever. The fact that Betty is Hal's, sure. But Charles? No! That is FP's son. That is the product of the best ship of all time.
Okay, but... Oh, wait. No, that's a different timeline. Never mind. I was going to say, remember that episode where all the firstborns died and Jughead died? It's because...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe...
Oh, yeah. That was so confusing.
I know.
And we were like, what? Was that Rivervale?
No. That was just last season.
And then they just, like, unkilled people? What happened there?
They brought Sabrina in, right?
Oh my god. Okay, whatever. So, anyway, I feel like I've been waiting for this scene for years, and then I also was like, please yell at him about Charles, please. Like, I feel like, because in season 2, was she not like, Hal, I'm yelling at you about this because you made me go and...
No, that was season 1.
Give him away or whatever?
Because, remember he tried to, like...
Oh, they, like, implied that Alice had to get an abortion?
He tried to make her get one, and then he did the same thing to Polly.
He tried to make her...
And that's why she was mad.
Perfect, yes. But Machen is so good in this scene. She's just, like...
Ugh, she's...
Going right in with the high Riverdale camp. Help me with my necklace! Help me put on my necklace, Hal!
She's so funny!
So good. I loved it.
Ethel and Betty are down the hallway hearing them argue. Ethel asks if they're fighting about her, but Betty says no. Once the cameras start rolling, they'll be fine. She changes the subject and asks if Ethel's decided on a song to sing for the talent competition, and Ethel hands her the sheet music.
I think that Shannon does such a good job in this song. It's absolutely beautiful. Yeah. It's perfect for her. I was just, like, surprised because we've never seen Ethel sing before, well, other than, like, she was in the musical, but she didn't even have, like, a starring role or anything, you know?
But she wanted to be Carrie.
That is true! That is a great point. Yeah. That is a great point. Yes, she did.
So I guess technically, if you were, like, a really big Ethel fan, like, you would know that she's a singer, but...
You'd be like, she's been wanting to sing forever. Yeah.
If you're out there...
That is a good point.
Contact us, because I want to hear all your thoughts.
Well, that's the thing, is that, like, where was Ethel at the point in season 3? Was she in... She was at the sisters?
Okay, so she was...
During Heather's, I guess, is my question.
Oh, during Heather's? I don't think she was there.
No, I don't think she was either. But I'm like, what was she doing and why wasn't she there?
She was, like, hiding...
Because!
In the bus with all the little kids.
I have to yell about this once more. Perhaps for the final time on this podcast, but who's to say? At the end of Heather's, they sing the song... Or they sing the line, Martha, are you free tonight? And nobody is freaking playing Martha. Not one person has been cast to play Martha. Ethel is the embodiment of playing Martha.
I thought Tony was just as Martha.
Literally, Ethel could have shown up and sang Martha's, like, ballad that she sings in Heather's, and it would have made complete sense. Not now, because they're in the 50s. But, right. Like, Ethel was Martha, and instead of bringing in Ethel to play Martha, which I get didn't make sense because she was with the farm, They just didn't have anyone play Martha. I'm still mad about this!
I always thought Tony was playing Martha. I don't know why. Is she, like, a different character, or am I just...
Here's the thing, is that I feel like I sort of thought that too, but then, like, she was in... I think she was doing something else that made it clear that she wasn't playing Martha. Or maybe She had, like, a different character name or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't... But, like, also it makes no sense for Tony to play Martha.
They can have a skinny Martha, I guess.
I mean, I guess, but not an absolute beauty queen-looking gorgeous angel.
Not Vanessa Morgan.
Not Vanessa Morgan, though.
Who knows?
Who knows?
So, at Pops, every male character that's a teen, minus gay Kevin, has gathered. They're all watching the Miss Riverdale performance on the tiniest TV you've ever seen. Reggie says that they used to have Miss Duck Creek pageants every year. Julian is mad that they cut out the swimsuit portion, but Jughead points out that it's weird of him to say that since his sister is competing.
I loved that. Like, we literally, like, Archie showed up this episode, and I was like, oh yeah, Archie. Like, I literally, like, we almost didn't have him. I'm pretty sure that KJ's been in every single episode of this show.
I think so, except, like, the Riverdale ones.
Ooh. Oh.
Like, remember he got murdered by Cheryl?
Okay, maybe that's true. Okay. But either way, like, we almost didn't have Archie this episode, and that would have been crazy. Running out the bathroom, still doing up his belt. I'm like, alright, it's not that much of a rush, bud.
He didn't want to miss it.
And Reggie said that they had butter carving competitions for the pageant. And
I said,
they're cute.
Aww.
And Clay's like, hey, I'd love to hear my boyfriend sing and not your bickering. Please shut up.
Yeah.
Julian's like talking about the swimsuit thing, and Jughead's like, hey, that's gross because it's your sister. And Julian's like, well, don't bring it up, please. Okay, I didn't think about it. And now I'm embarrassed.
Every time I see Julian now, I think of that time that you said that thing that he said was just like Schmidt from New Girl, where he goes, yuck, mother.
Yuck, mother! Yeah.
But yeah, Jughead was so funny for this scene. Get his ass.
Yeah, it was cute. Yeah, Cole was just like, I'm gonna put all the energy that I usually put in a full episode into this scene.
And he's that last episode, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Hal...
Oh yeah, he's had a bit of a break, hasn't he? Good for him.
Yes. Hal introduces Kevin to sing a song to everyone during the performance. Alice is watching from the sidelines. Everyone is introduced and they all walk across the stage and twirl their dresses. Everybody claps.
Kevin, you are so gay.
That's why his name...
He is so gay.
That's why his...
Is Gay Kevin.
Legal name is Gay Kevin.
Gay Kevin.
Yeah.
Did he sing at all before we learned he was gay? Like, I really feel like this is a hobby he just picked up.
Oh, like, in this timeline?
Yeah, like, it is suspicious.
They only had, like, two or three songs before the musical, and I think they were all fangs. Oh, wait, yeah. No, yeah. Wait, no.
Yeah, because he did sing...
He sang at Rocky Horror.
He did sing a song.
Or Halloween, yeah. Whatever they called it.
But he already knew he was gay, and he sang with Veronica and Betty and Clay at their little sleepover, but he already knew he was gay at that point. I mean, I guess we didn't see him before he was gay, but, like, I don't know.
He's like, I guess I'm just a theater gay now.
I guess I just am.
We've all been there.
It makes sense to me that Cheryl always wins. First of all, she's beautiful, but second of all, because one of the judges is her dad, yeah. So she always, like, has a third of the votes.
But also, that makes me feel icky, because, like, why are you watching your daughter in a swimsuit competition?
Yeah. Ugh. When Betty comes up, Werther's writes down that she's lively?
Ugh. Werther's is such a creep. I don't want to see him anymore.
I was like, do you remember when she blackmailed you? I think it is so unfair and, like, purposeful, for sure. But I think it's so unfair to have these faculty members judging them.
Yeah.
For things that they're not even, like, putting forward in the pageant. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Werther's has been, like, her psychologist, almost. Like, he knows stuff about Betty.
Her therapist. Yeah.
And Featherhead knows lots of stuff about all of these girls.
Ugh.
And I mean, Clifford, literally Clifford's daughter. Like, you need to have completely impartial parties.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Who, what but, Riverdale? Imagine. Okay. Are you picturing this?
I'm ready.
Picture this. Okay.
I'm not picturing anything yet, but I'm ready.
All right. The three judges.
Yeah.
Chick, Charles, Dr. Curdle Jr.
What? Uh-huh.
They don't know anyone except Betty, I guess, but like.
I want Dr. Curdle Jr. for sure. Mm-hmm. Pop.
Oh, true, because he wouldn't be a creep about it.
Yeah, for sure. And he would just, like, he just thinks the best of everybody, you know? So it's like...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's not bringing in any biases. So, yeah, them and then...
That's such a good idea.
Also, would love to have a woman in here. Let's put Mary Andrews. I feel like she'll be impartial. And she knows stuff about dresses.
Or... Mm-hmm. What about Gladys?
Oh, I didn't hear... I didn't think you were going to say that no. for sure. I did not expect that from you.
This really does not seem like her scene, though. So, like, I'll give you Mary.
Yeah. Yeah. She, like, shows up and she's like, what?
I would love to see that episode.
So everybody gets their, like, own moment. And then Evelyn and Ethel have to go at the same time. Like, it's giving Hufflepuff. It's very, like, and here's, you know, and all the rest.
As a Hufflepuff, I understand.
Yeah. But I just wanted to say that they're all so pretty, and they look so pretty, yeah. And I'm sad for the boys, because they don't even get to watch it in color. Like, they have to watch it in black and white. They don't even get to see the pretty dresses.
Aww. Was it, like, really? An event that they could have, like, shown up to, or was it just, like...
I would think so. Like, I like the little scenes that we're getting, and I like that they get to do their little commentary, but yeah. I'm also just, like, I feel like Kevin could have gotten a seat for somebody. I feel like yeah. well, each of the girls, at least, should have gotten a seat for somebody. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hmm, weird. Hmm. But hey, who has agency?
Not women in this timeline. We don't get to see the majority of the show, but we do learn that Veronica did do tightrope walking for the talent portion of the competition. And next up is Ethel, who's going to sing a song.
I'm so mad we didn't get to see, like, literally any other talent than Ethel's. Like, I know! We're pressed for time here, but I would love to, like, can I see Veronica do the tightrope? I was like, what did everyone else do? And we hear what Betty did.
It wasn't she, like, reciting the Declaration of Independence or something?
No, the Gettysburg Address.
Oh!
But I'm also just like, they can all sing, though. They all sing.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, just it's just interesting the choices that we've made here.
What do you think?
And, like, what did Tony and Cheryl do? Yeah. I want to know. What did Evelyn do?
Oh, I want to know what Evelyn did so bad.
So bad. The only thing I had was that, like, these boys are watching it on this TV, and I'm like, would you guys want to get, like, chairs or something so you don't have to watch it, like, standing? I also feel like if the front row was sitting, then maybe the back row could see better.
Yeah. What about the people in the booths who are too shy to get up?
Can somebody talk? I'm here to talk about the logistics of how people are viewing this in Pops.
Hey, if Tabitha was here, this wouldn't have happened. She would know how to handle this crowd.
So true.
Ethel walks up to the microphone as... everyone watches. She sings Who Will Love Me As I Am from the musical Sideshow, which is from the 90s. Alice watches from the sidelines and is super moved. She cries through the whole thing. Everyone is super impressed.
Yes. Sideshow is a musical by Bill Russell, who did the book and lyrics, and Henry Krieger, who did the music, based on the lives of Daisy and Violet Hilton, conjoined twins who became famous stage performers in the 1930s.
Oh.
Did you say it's the musicals from the 90s, though?
I think the one I was looking at. Maybe I'm wrong. Hold on.
Well, I'm like, I guess I didn't look to see. I saw that the girls were from the 1930s, but when did the musical come out?
The first performance was October 16th, 1997.
This article is about the 1997 musical. Okay, well, who wrote that? Where'd you get that? That piano music. Okay, I don't know. Whatever.
But I did want to point out that the lead in the 90s show was played by Alice Ripley, who was also the lead in Next to Normal.
Interesting. Yes.
And for anyone who doesn't watch the Next to Normal episode every single time they get sad, that's the Alice musical episode.
That's the... Yes.
So this is probably...
where Charles shows up and sings a little song.
Yeah. Oh my god, I love Charles in the Next to Normal episode.
Me too. He's the Charles I see in my mind.
Yeah. Aww.
I love seeing Jughead, like, really rooting for Ethel. I thought that was really lovely because yeah. they are really good friends.
That's his buddy.
Yeah.
What does he call her? That's his bud.
Yeah, his bud. My bud, Ethel.
Aww.
Reggie says he's in love with Ethel. I'm like, well, damn, if having a good singing voice makes someone fall in love, then where is my boyfriend?
Aww.
What the heck? Yeah, so it's a really beautiful song. She does a great job. And, you know, Alice sort of, like, sheds a tear. And you're like, oh my god, she's turning over a new leaf for, like, the end of the show? This is exactly what I wanted.
Oh, well, if you look up the lyrics, this song is so Alice and it hurts my feelings. Mm-hmm. But,
oh.
like, it just totally makes sense that she would be, like, crying through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Sad. So, while the judges vote for a winner, the boys at Pops talk about who they think should win. Clay says that if there's justice in the world, then it should be Ethel, and he knew that they should have made the musical about her instead.
Yo, a musical about Ethel? I was like, what? No. And then I thought about it, and I was like, no? That would actually kind of slap.
Okay, so I think they should call it, if they were to do an Ethel musical episode, which they're yeah. not going to because there's 5 episodes left.
They don't have time, but yeah.
They could call it Big Ethel Energy the Musical, which is like her most recent comic series where she's the main character. I think it would be really fun.
Oh, interesting.
I do have a copy.
B-E-E.
But I've yet to read it yet.
I love that.
Did you say B-E-E?
B-E-E, Big Ethel Energy.
B, the musical.
Well, let me know. Let me know if her parents are dead in it.
I will. I'm guessing they're not.
Yeah, I'm, like, I just think it would, like, be kind of cool. I mean, she killed a man.
Ethel?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's way more interesting than Archie.
That's, like, definitely the type of musical that Riverdale would put on.
Yeah.
Julian says he doesn't care who wins as long as it's not Cheryl.
Yeah.
I guess he just doesn't want to hear her, like...
Talk about it. Well, I guess she's won the past couple years, so.
Put her ego up, I guess. Yeah, yeah. We hear that Betty did the Gettysburg Address. And let me please complain. The judges each write down one name. What if they all say 3 different people? Like, this is a really bad way to go about it.
I agree.
Like, here's what they should do, is that everybody does a top 3.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And then whoever gets, like, the most... Like, whoever is on... You know what I mean? Like, I feel like...
I think. Yeah.
It's like, if one person got a 1, a 2, and a 3, but one person got a 1, a 2, and a 1, then they would win, you know?
Oh, I see what you mean.
But, like, yeah. So, anyway, I just think that them all writing one name down doesn't make any sense.
No.
Because if Betty won, that means... At least 2 of them would have had to vote for Betty.
I think Ethel, or not Ethel, what am I saying? Featherhead and Werther's both must voted have. For her. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Whatever.
They're probably, I mean, it kind of seems like they're all on the same page. Like, they,
yeah.
They're gross. They probably looked at the list beforehand and already had an idea in their heads.
And already decided, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, who knows.
Ugh, man. So, Alice gets to announce the winner of the pageant. She doesn't hesitate as Hal hands her the card to read, and she says Ethel has won. Everyone is thrilled except for Hal and the judges. And Evelyn.
Mm-hmm.
Alice whispers to Hal that he better act happy because the world is watching them. They crown Ethel as the winner.
Alice goes, I love this day even more than Christmas. Because we all love a Christian holiday, right, folks? And everyone's like, yeah!
Okay, Alice.
Everybody, like, holds hands, and it's really lovely, and Veronica, like, offers her hand to Evelyn, who, like, smacks it away, and I was like, listen, man, it was really nice for you to offer, though.
Aww.
It was really nice of you to offer.
She's so sweet.
I love the moment, because Hal, like, looks at the answer that Betty has won, and looks over to Alice like, oh my god, our daughter won, isn't that awesome? And then Alice is like, nope!
I love it when Hal is sad.
Oh, it was great. It was a good moment. I think Lachlan pulled that off really well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think Lachlan was very good this episode.
He's such a good actor, and I hate that I just, like, I see him and I'm like, that's Hal Cooper.
Yeah.
At Pops the next day, Fangs comes in and says Cheryl told him to expect a call from Midge here. The phone rings in the entrance to where Le Bon Nuit used to be, and they're both just thrilled to talk to each other. Midge asks what they're going to do, and Fangs tells her to stay strong. He says they'll get through it, and they're going to get married and be a family. Midge says that she loves him, and he reciprocates.
It's really lovely.
Yeah.
I do wanted to say that though those old phones make filming a little bit difficult, because, like, that little part at the end of the phone goes over their mouths, and I'm like, can we just move it down a little bit? Just move it down a little bit. Who's the director?
Oh, yeah.
Move it down so we can see her mouth, please. That's a nitpicky thing that bothered me as a film student.
No, that's valid.
For some reason, I got this foreboding feeling in this scene that she might lose the baby.
No, because it's going to be baby Anthony.
That's what I'm saying. It's probably baby Anthony. I think it's funny because, like, when I think about baby Anthony, I'm just like, that's Tony's baby, and Tony was the magic force behind baby Anthony. And I love the idea that it's actually Fangs.
That's so unexpected.
who's like the reason why baby Anthony is a magic baby. Everybody's very threatened by this baby. But yeah, I hope she doesn't lose the baby. She probably won't because he is a magic baby.
Right, so. Right. He's like the Riverdale equivalent of like the second coming of Christ.
Yeah, maybe he'll be like named something else because he can't be named after his mom. Maybe they'll... But it's possible that they'll name it after Tony, who was like their friend and helped them.
Yeah, she was the first person that they told.
Oh, I love that.
Aw, it is Baby Anthony. It is.
It's Baby Anthony. Oh, we called it. You heard it here first, folks.
You heard it here first.
Betty walks in on Alice sitting in silence. Drama queen moment. Affectionate. She asks if she's upset because Betty lost. Alice tells her to open the card that has the winner's name written down, and she does so, seeing her own name. Alice says the judges and Hal were furious, but couldn't contradict her since they were on live TV. They clearly didn't watch the 2016 Oscars.
Right.
Betty asks her if she wanted Ethel to win after all. Alice says it's possible that she believes the competition can change lives, or maybe she just didn't want Betty to win. She tells her to remember that Ethel would have lost without her, but Betty sees through it and tells Alice that she can downplay all she wants, but she did a nice thing. She tells her she loves her, and she believes that she's a good person, and Alice cries when she's gone.
Oh, I loved it. Yes! I really hope that this really is, like, the start of something new.
Me too.
A High School Musical reference for you guys.
No, Alice, don't downplay what a great episode this was for you. You're so sexy, yeah? Uh-huh.
Betty is gonna go to the store and get milk.
Ugh, not the milk again.
Milk on this show is very important. So, what do you think is the reason why Alice chose to make the winner Ethel and not Betty?
Okay. So, the only theory that I could come up with, I already talked about a little bit, but I think it's because Hal is, like, behind the milkman murders, mm-hmm. and she's, like, trying to get out.
Yeah. Interesting.
Like, she wants somebody to come digging around and finding out that he's the killer.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because, like, Hal apparently tried to get Ethel killed as well, you know? And so it's just, like, it's strange that she's under the same roof as him and he's hasn't done anything about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or maybe he just doesn't want to, like, you know, have someone murdered in his own home.
That's true.
He's like, I'm not out here trying to be haunted.
That's true. But then they have the body under the floorboards in season 6.
Well, all right then.
It's yeah. Okay. We don't count season 6 as anything that happened.
You know, it sort of reads, or at least Betty believes at first, that, like, Alice just sort of, like, didn't want Betty to win. And I was like, but if that was true, why would Alice choose Ethel? She could choose anybody yeah. else. She could just choose Cheryl again. You know, I was like, is it because she sees Ethel as her other daughter, or at least she did before, or at least she said she did to Betty to bother her?
I don't know. Maybe she's also yeah. just trying to like, mend fences with Betty, too.
Yeah, yeah. She says that Ethel has a broken and hopeless life. I was like, okay, that's... She's
living with you, Alice.
Yeah, she's living with you. She's just a teenager. She has a whole life ahead of her. But, yeah. Oh, and she has a Hollywood screen test, so chill.
Yeah. I don't understand why she tries to undermine herself so much, though. Alice, like, mm-hmm. do you think she's just, yeah. like, too scared to get close to Betty? Like, maybe mm-hmm. if they start seeing eye to eye, then she'll fully, like, come to terms with how unhappy yeah. she is. And she's just trying to delay that as much as possible.
Yeah. I really loved this moment where Betty said that she loves her and she knows that she's a good person. I was just no. like, oh my god, we're getting them. It's yeah. them. I always love Betty and Alice stuff when they're, like...
They're so good.
You know, loving each other and not being horrible.
Yeah.
I know that I'm a broken record about this, but I keep wondering who voted for Betty. Because I know that these judges would not vote for Ethel. They would not vote for Tony, because she's black. Right. They know Cheryl is gay, so not her. Mm-hmm. Veronica, question mark? Veronica's a person of color.
Right.
So I honestly feel like the most realistic outcome, other than Betty... is Evelyn.
Ew. Yeah, but it's Evelyn. They can tell that she's a miserable person.
I know. They're probably just like, yeah, but that's unrealistic because she was so horrible. You know what? There we go. They chose Betty because they were like, nobody else. I don't want to vote for anybody else. That is, you know what? That's the answer. Because I was like, why would they choose Betty? And I was like, no, it's because Betty's the only person they can choose because they don't want to vote for anybody else. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, but also, I think she does have that look of, like, what...
Yeah.
Like...
Oh, yeah. Blonde. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. like what a moderately attractive person is supposed to look like.
Yes, yeah.
Not that, like, anyone on the show is moderately attractive. Like, they're all, yeah. like, drop-dead stunning.
You know, the CW. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Betty writes back in Teenage Mystique to everyone who wrote to her at the beginning of the episode about their issues. She tells them that they're not alone and that there is a hope for a better tomorrow and that the girls writing in are that hope.
I love that. I think that's awesome that girls yeah. are hope for tomorrow. I yeah. agree.
So did you write down all the names?
I wrote them all down.
Yes.
I'm just like, Betty should know who all of these people are because it is so obvious. And I'm like, you guys are all being way too obvious. So first of all, the most exciting one to me was that Veronica went by Monica Posh.
Yes!
Which is just like the best Easter egg to the original timeline. I loved it. Beautiful. But I'm just like, using a name that just rhymes with your own actual name is not being very subtle. Tony used Sandy Sapphire. So that's an alliterative name with a gem being your last name.
Right.
Like Topaz and Sapphire. Okay.
Exactly. We have
Coral Peasbottom.
Who was that supposed to be? Cheryl?
That was Cheryl. So that one's okay, I think. But it does start with a C.
But Coral kind of does sound like Cheryl.
It does. It's like, true.
A little.
And then Peasbottom is like, you kind of got Blossom there a little bit, and it's just like really fancy schmancy.
Right.
Bitsy Block is Midge Clump. So that's the one that I'm like, you know what? That's probably the best one. That's probably the least.
Yeah. Bitsy Block.
The least obvious one. And then Evelyn Evernever is Carrie Carrion.
Okay. Why did they?
That's a lot.
Why did they have to like sign names? Like they couldn't have just like written in anonymously?
Anonymous. Who knows?
That's so funny. An extra of them.
And then my personal favorite is Edith Cups.
Me too!
Ethel Muggs.
Edith Cups!
Edith Cups.
Did you catch if they spell cups with two P's? Like,
good question. I didn't write it down as two P's, so I don't think so, because I was looking at
the subtitles.
The subtitles on Netflix. But it's possible that the subtitles on Netflix don't know what they're talking about.
That's true.
Yeah. And that's the episode!
Yeah, that's it.
That is it. Let's go into our
segments,
my friends. So for the What Did Blanche Think?
Love. I loved it.
segment. we are going to throw to Brittany, who told me that she was going to do a voicemail of her thoughts in this episode. She was very upset to miss the episode because she had a lot of thoughts, she told me.
Aww.
So we are going to throw to Brittany for that. And we'll go ahead and use Blanche's intro music.
Yay!
For Brittany.
I love to hear it.
This in my car on the way to the Eras tour, so everyone just be chill if you hear sounds, okay? But I wanted to just like quickly record some of my thoughts on the episode because I really liked it, but at the same time, I told Robin this, like, I don't think the writer of this episode knew what was happening in the previous episode because it was kind of like Betty and Veronica had like reset like back to a couple episodes ago with like no mention of what happened between them. Like the little line where Betty was talking about she and Archie and she says Archie was in his underwear too and Veronica says something about like, oh, you know, wish I could see that or something like that. And I was like, but like, are you not dating Betty now? Like what's going on here? So some of the inconsistencies drove me like a little bit insane, but I am always here for an Alice redemption arc. I wasn't expecting to get that at all. I just figured she would be awful the whole season, but now she's going to be like 50% less awful than she was. Now, why she had to be awful in the first place, who's to say? But I'll take what I can get. I really liked the Ethel stuff. Like, I think Shannon is just, she has the sweetest face. And whenever someone was like, oh, like, you can't be, like, a beauty queen. And I'm like, Shannon's beautiful. She's just fat. Like, calm down. You know? I am also fat. And I am still pretty. So, eat shit. But, yeah, I really liked all of that. I kind of missed Archie. But can't really do much about that. And, yeah, it was a fine episode. It felt like a filler episode, and considering there's, like, what, 5 episodes left, it kind of felt like maybe we didn't even need it at all, but it's Riverdale, so that's just how it's gonna be, I guess, because they don't know how to plan out anything, and we love it for that at this point, because you can't change it, so you might as well just lean into it, so those are all of my episode thoughts. Also, Ethel, baby, you can do so much better than Jughead. I like Jughead this season, but listen, have you tried dating girls? It might be so much better than you think it is. You know? Yeah, okay. Now I'm done. All right. Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks, Brittany. I have no idea what she said, but I'm sure it was great.
I'm sure it was smart. Can I steal her segment?
Which character needs a hug? Sure.
Yay.
So mine is which character needs a hug the most. I'm going to give it to Ethel.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Alice.
I'm going to give it to Ethel.
But you wouldn't give Alice a hug?
I'll give Alice a hug at the end of the episode, but not at the beginning of the episode.
Okay, consider this, though. I give her a hug at the beginning of the episode, and she, like, immediately changes her ways.
Okay.
Yeah. And Brittany's segment is which MILF was the most badass, and I'm gonna say Alice.
You can say Alice, but I'm gonna say also Mary.
But, like...
Honorable mention to Mary.
Okay.
Okay, because Mary was, like, very, like, girl power, but Alice definitely can have it this episode.
Yeah.
She needs to have it at some point.
Alice is back to reclaiming her cinnamon apple status.
Please. Yeah. What is Sam shipping the most? Sam is currently at San Diego Comic-Con, so I know that she hasn't seen this episode. She is very, very busy. But what is she shipping the most? Probably Veronica? Maybe Midge and Fangs? I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know. Maybe Alice and Autonomy back. Getting her autonomy back. Probably
Alice not. And Mary.
Yeah. Yes. Good.
Yeah.
Asexual Jughead? Question mark?
Yes, always yes.
He's just like, hey, Julian, you're weird for wanting to see your sister in a swimsuit. And he says
Jughead doesn't want to see the swimsuits.
He says he's pervy. Oh, it was good.
And then he, like, nudges Archie.
Oh my gosh, Cole's sweet smile in that scene made me so happy. Aww. And now it's time for our best line award. My best line award goes to Betty, Hal, and Veronica for...
We want the swimsuit promenade cut entirely from the pageant.
What? Why? That is the judge's favorite segment.
I'm sure.
What? Why? That's the judge's favorite segment! Veronica's like, yeah, okay, I probably.
Yeah, that checks out.
And Brittany's favorite line word goes to Cheryl for...
Quite the cautionary tale, if you ask me.
Funnily enough, no one is you goon from Saskatoon.
Ugh, they had so many good insults that scene.
They really did. Mm-hmm. And my favorite line award goes to Alice for...
Why would you want to participate in anything so glorious and wholesome and all-American as Miss Riverdale Teen Queen when you're already holding the crown for Miss Grumpy Pants USA?
I loved it.
She's so funny.
It's such a mom. Such a mom line. So good.
It is.
As for the trailer, next episode is called Stag. This is the blurb for it. Curious minds. Veronica sets up a screening at the Babylonium after Julian gets his hands on a stag film and invites Archie, Reggie, and the guys over for a watch party. Betty unexpectedly reunites with Polly and learns about her sister's new life in New York. Elsewhere, Jughead goes to war with Dr. Werther's over a censure of comic books. Here's the thing. Why the heck would Veronica set this up? Like, so a stag film is like...
That's like a porno, right?
It's porno.
Ooh.
And I just simply don't believe Veronica is like, oh, hey, Julian, yeah, you want me to do you a solid and do a whole theater of porn? No problem. You're also a teen? I'm a teen. Let's both do that.
Yikes.
I just think it's so weird. And like,
I don't know.
We didn't even see Veronica in this trailer. I just thought the blurb was so weird. Veronica sets up a screening for Julian for this?
Sometimes they get the blurbs wrong, though. Like, I don't...
Okay. Absolutely, yeah.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that either, so I mean, I guess we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
So we see Reggie and Archie gonna watch a movie in the garage, like in Archie's garage.
Oh.
So I'm...
It's giving It chapter one.
Yeah. I'm just like, so is it at the Babylonium or is it in Archie's garage? I don't know. Reggie says, you ready? We see Tony and Cheryl, like, fully looking into the camera, making some, like, boudoir thing. I sort of thought it was maybe another fantasy, but... I guess I was like, this better not be the video that Julian has, because they didn't actually like, like, I'm just confused. Anyway, so we have one of the shot has Cheryl and she's like on the phone upside down and someone with red nail polish is like taking a photo. They're like pressing a button to take a photo. So I guess in my brain, the stag film is something else because we sort of see like Polly in the stag film in the trailer.
Well, isn't...
And then...
Mm-hmm. In... I thought I heard somebody talking about this. Isn't Polly like a burlesque dancer in this timeline?
That's what it's looking like.
Yeah.
And so I guess this Shoni photo shoot is a separate thing?
Oh.
That they're doing, I guess? Then we see a performance of the Babylonium, and the poster says something like Polly Amore starring in Polly's Follies.
Oh.
It could be Polly. It probably is. I thought it looked a lot like Lily. I didn't realize how... If that's Tierra and not Lily... The casting, I did not realize how good the casting was.
I'll have to look back at that.
And like maybe, because it was slightly blurry, it's just the trailer, right? So we don't get it in like crisp 1080p or anything, but like, right. Damn, did it ever look like Lily. So I'm gonna be very impressed if that's Tierra.
Yeah, or maybe it's like Betty fantasizing about if she was,
that's possible, or Polly has to go do something but she's like on contract to do this dance and she asks Betty to do it instead. Like, I don't know, it could be either one of them, but it looks a lot like Lily.
Yeah.
But see, the poster said Polly, though, so that's why I was confused. So Reggie says to Archie, tonight we become men. And they're real pumped about it. Okay.
Oh, that is Lily. Sorry, I'm looking at it now.
Right? Right?
That's Lily. I thought you meant it is Lily on the poster. But I think...
No.
I think that's Betty.
That has to be Lily, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
If that's not Lily, I'm gonna be very impressed.
Yeah.
So we get more shots of this weird photo shoot. Jughead says... to someone, probably Werther's based on the blurb, with Fieldstone sitting beside him. He says, lurid and perverted. We see Polly on the TV, so this is maybe the thing that... Either this must be the film that Julian got, or the video that Reggie and Archie are watching, because it's not at the Babylonium.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Polly. And Julian straight up yelling in the locker room, complete with naked women!
Ooh.
And I'm like, maybe keep it down. Maybe keep it down. We see Archie reacting to what's on TV. We see some old school porn mags. Cheryl and Tony looking at them in front of Lizzo. So I would assume that maybe Lizzo is showing it to them. And Lizzo, oh. Like, is the one who takes the pictures of them?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe? Then Cheryl says, color me curious. And we see more of their photo shoot. I'm just like, but what's the point? Are you going to sell them? What's happening?
Just for funsies. Do they not seem like...
I guess we'll find out.
Do they not seem like the couple that would do that?
I mean... Yeah.
Just because they know that they're both hot.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, where is this going? Where are you putting these pictures?
Okay, well, anything's better than the tickle porn plot.
You're right. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode.
Our music is Terminal by Good News Tunes.
And thank you to those who shared space with us while we recorded. Thanks to my dog. His name's Daily, and he's real little.
Aw, the babies. Thank you to the doggies that I'm babysitting for being so quiet and nice. It's funny that every time
we appreciate you.
I record one of these, I'm staying with the same dogs.
Yeah. They're like, this again?
They're like, oh my god, this is what she does in her spare time? Thank you to me for writing the notes.
You're the best.
Of course.
If you're a fan of The 100, we like to talk about that show too. We did seasons 4 to 7 as they were airing, and then we went back to do the good old days. Season 3 is done, and now we're doing season 2. If you're a fan of Stranger Things, we like to talk about that show too. Seasons 1 to 3 are done, and we are making our way through season 4. If you're a fan of Lost, we like to talk about that show too. We are also on season 4 of that. We have guests over there and a spoiler section at the end if you want to watch along for the first time. That would mean so much to me. I would really appreciate that. Aww. And, yeah.
And you cannot listen to their Person of Interest podcast. That's gone.
Sorry, it's unavailable.
But you can follow the Aficionados on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and our new TikTok.
That is a fantastic segue. Our Thank Patreon, you. Like I said earlier, patreon.com/theaficionados. We really appreciate your help over there. If not, check out the small businesses in the description or recommend us to a friend because that's free and it still helps. Mwah!
Yeah.
You can follow me personally at Robin E. Jeffrey. That's RobynEJFFrey pretty much everywhere.
And you can follow me at Blanket Juice on Instagram. Or if you want to track what I'm watching, I'm at Serpent Lady on both TV Time, Letterboxd, and Serialized.
Blanche, look at how far we've come. Do you remember when Blanket Juice used to write into us and we said, Blanket Juice, tell us more about this? That was so long ago.
Oh, yeah. Aww. That was years ago now. That's insane.
Our next episode is episode 716. It's called Stag, which is a 1997 American thriller film directed by Gavin Wilding. It was made for HBO and later released theatrically after drawing large ratings. A group of men are having a bachelor party, but when misfortune befalls one of the strippers at the Stag, a convoluted scheme is hatched by the partygoers to avoid blame.
Ooh.
All right, looking forward to it. Okay, love you, bye!
Okay, love you, bye!